Welcome. The Avenue of the Giants is the 32-mile-long road that meanders through the heart of Humboldt Redwood State Park. I'm Ruskin Hartley, Executive Director of Save the Redwoods League. Since 1918, our organization has been working to protect the groves you'll see here today. In this audio guide, you'll learn about Humboldt Redwood's history, its global significance, and what you can see and do here. We'll also introduce you to some of the park's distinctive sounds and dedicated people. Starting in the 1880s, stagecoaches and wagons traveled along the route we call the Avenue of the Giants. It was part of a challenging 250-mile journey from San Francisco to Eureka. Dave Stockton is head of the Humboldt Redwoods Interpretive Association. He knows all about this historic road.
It didn't really become a year-round road until the 20s. You know, you'd have a long haul between puddles back in those days. Here on the avenue, I had a team of horses, and you could not get through the swamp with a car in the wintertime. So he would patiently wait until you got good and stuck, then for $5 he would pull you out with his team of horses. If you didn't have the $5, that's where you stayed.
Three intrepid scientists visited the area in 1917. Henry Fairfield Osborne, Madison Grant, and John C. Merriam.
Henry Fairfield Osborne was probably the most renowned paleontologist fossil scientist of his day. Madison Grant, he was in charge of the Brooklyn Museum, and he was kind of a man's man, a friend of Teddy Roosevelt's. He was into big game hunting, but also into conservation. And of course, John Merriam, who was a paleontologist at the University of California, Berkeley. They all met right across the river from here in 1917, where we were overlooking Bull Creek. And that's where the whole preservation movement got started.
Osborne, Grant, and Merriam were upset by the logging they witnessed along the avenue. Huge redwoods are being felled to make grape stakes, railroad ties, posts, and shingles. In 1918, the three men founded Save the Redwoods League to stop this destruction. In 1920, the League acquired its first redwood groves right here along the Avenue of the Giants. As one early leader of the League, Newton Drury, put it, "There were many relatively small holdings along this new highway, and we raised the money and purchased them just a jump ahead of the sawmills." Say the Redwoods League has been working hard to protect these magnificent forests ever since. Humboldt Redwoods State Park now has the largest contiguous swath of ancient redwoods in the world. Of the 53,000 acres in Humboldt Redwoods State Park today, more than 50,000 acres have been purchased with the help of Save the Redwoods League and our members. Dave Stockton was raised on a farm near here. As a youngster, he spent 12 summers working as a park aide. Most of his relatives were loggers and farmers.
My dad was a peeler and a powder monkey. He would peel the bark off of the trees when they were fallen, and then if they were too large to fit on a truck or a railroad car, he would split them with a mixture of black powder and dynamite. Got big money. My uncle was a faller, and here in the 40s, when wages were between $1 and $2 an hour, they were both making $100 a day contract. My dad ran a peeling bar through his big toe, cut two-thirds of it off, drove 20 miles, no Doc Treadwell, sewed it back on, and it took. He was fine. My uncle, Jerry, had just about every bone in his body broken at one time or another. And then he retired from the woods at 65, lived to be 94. Of course, his hearing was gone, his ankles were gone, his knees were gone.
Today, Dave leads park visitors on walks in the redwoods.
If you'll notice, one of the unique features in the redwood ecology is the high canopy. And Founders Grove, being one of the very best composites of the whole redwood ecology, have all the pieces of the puzzle right here. It's probably the very best Marbermallette area in this whole section of Northern California. And this is this little insignificant bird that makes a nest on top of one of the branches, commutes out to the ocean either once or twice a day in the summer to feed their family, and comes back in at night. You have redwoods all the way from huge down to very small. You have a big leaf maple over there that's kind of content to stay in the understory. Redwoods do quite well. You have ferns. We have a lush ground cover of sorrel. It's all right here. And what is so neat, just in my lifetime, we've had two windstorms with velocities over 100 miles an hour, three 7-point earthquakes. If you were here in 1964, you'd probably be under 20 feet of water. And, of course, all the fires, you see the fire scars here, so they've been through it all.
Dave likes to tell people about the day in 1991 when one of the tallest trees in the world fell to the ground, the Dyerville Giant. You can see it stretched out on the forest floor today in Founders Grove.
This is the apocalypse area. When the Dyerville Giant fell the day before, a tree hit it a glancing blow and started it to lean. So when it fell the next day, it took four others with it. I didn't hear it, but I heard about it. I came down here the next day. I climbed up there, and I paced it off. And I got, because I had heard it was the world's tallest tree, and I got to about 340 feet, and it disappeared. It was gone. And I found pieces of it 500 feet on the other side of the avenue. It was just amazing what it did. You had to crawl through all the debris to get to it. It was just unbelievable. You know, waist deep in some places. And it was so funny because the people in Wyot and Camp Ramp thought it was a train wreck. So they all drove down the trestle to see where the train crashed. And, of course, it was the tree. It registered on a seismograph 10 miles away. That's why we knew the record of it falling. There were newspaper articles all over the world.
People are often curious about which redwood is the tallest tree in the world. Currently, that title belongs to a 379-foot tree located up north in Redwood National Park. But 68 of the world's tallest 100 trees are right here in Humboldt Redwood State Park. Years ago, Dave remembers hearing about a 415-foot tree that's taller than any known today.
And now there was a 415-foot tall one measured in Holmes. Holmes is a little village up here where I grew up. Around 1906, 1907, Percy French, he was a cruiser. He marked the trees, of course, then he would measure height and girth. They said he was so good you could write a check on one of his cruises, you know, and he would be right on the money. When we go to the Founders Grove, he just actually discovered that. The Save the Redwoods, they hired him to find the tallest tree. However, there was a stipulation. It had to be easy for public access. And he did good, 300 yards from park headquarters.
Today, Humboldt Redwood State Park offers visitors 100 miles of trails, as well as places to picnic, camp, swim, kayak, raft, and canoe. Every year, there are biking, running, and horseback riding events. In the spring, the park lights up with redwood lilies, rhododendrons, calypso orchids, and many other flowers. In the fall, there's a second bloom made of mushrooms with intriguing names like coral fungus, tuning fork fungus, and righteous red waxy cap. If you're lucky and patient, you might get to hear the haunting calls of the spotted owl. And the varied thrush. Supervising ranger John O'Rourke says,
it's a 53,000-acre park with about 13,000 acres of old growth, which makes it unique in all the world. It's all intact, all in one place. If you're in the park and you're up above it on the ridges, it creates its own weather pattern down inside the trees. There is nowhere else on Earth you can go and see what the forest actually was supposed to look like. This is it.
To find out more about this remarkable park, you may want to go to the visitor center. It's at auto stop number 3 by Burlington Campground. There are books and exhibits, even a chance to see what was probably the nation's first recreational vehicle carved out of a 6-ton redwood log in the early part of the 20th century. It's called the Travel Log. You can also find out about today's interpretive programs, some of which are led by Ranger Emily Peterson.
It's hard for me to put in words why Humboldt Redwood State Park is so important. Everyone has their own special connection. Having grown up in this area and now being lucky enough to be a ranger in Humboldt Redwood State Park, I don't know what I did right. But I love this place. It's not just my work. It really is my life.
Probably the most common comment made by people that visit here from all over the world is that
They say, I promised myself I would see the redwoods before I die, and they're even better than I thought they would be. Think about this. As a member of the community of living things, you owe it to yourself to go out here and experience this. You really do.